letting me share with you again about what God is doing in Cambodia. In 2021, at the end of my last home assignment, I picked up a packet of cherry tomato seeds right out there that was left over. I guess you guys had a seed swap or something here at the church. And so I picked up these cherry tomato seeds and along with some other seeds and took them to Cambodia. Thought I was going to try them out. So I tried them out and got a couple of plants. But I didn't use all my seeds. I still had a good bit left. And so I tucked them away and completely forgot about them. So a couple months ago, and I'm cleaning up, getting ready, you know, to come back here, and I'm like, oh, here are these tomato seeds. I should plant them. I mean, at this point, they're really, really old, probably like 3 or 4 years old now. So I didn't know. I was like, there's a lot of them in there, so maybe like some of the seeds will come up. So let me just give it a go. So I planted them in these little pots and put them out on my balcony. And so every day I would go out and I would water them and look, are they coming up yet? Are they coming up yet? And I was just so excited to see if they were going to sprout. And one day I went out, and they did. Like, there's some little seedlings popping through the soil, so I was really excited. But ended up being very surprised because I ended up with 20 tomato plants. And I actually, because I planted them right before I left, I didn't get any of the fruit. So the school where I work is going to be enjoying the fruit of those cherry tomatoes. So the question I want to ask is, how can we see such an abundant harvest spiritually in our families, in our communities, in our neighborhoods, and in Cambodia? And I want us to find the answer today in Mark chapter 4, verses 26 to 29. Mark chapter 4, 26 to 29, Jesus explains in here how the kingdom of God grows and the part that we can play in the growth that he brings about. So I'm going to read this for us, Mark 4, 26 to 29. Jesus also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." So in this passage, Jesus is using this parable of a man planting his seeds as a picture of how what the kingdom of God is like and how the kingdom of God grows. So in the first verse, verse 26, we see that Jesus is saying that a man scatters seed on the ground. Now, you guys who have studied the Bible a lot know other parables that Jesus has given about the man sowing seeds. So we know that the seeds are symbols of the Word of God. They're symbols of the Word of God. So the growth in the kingdom of God starts with the Word of God. It starts with sharing the good news of Jesus and God's word that we find in the Bible. And we know that God's word is powerful. I mean, God even promises in Isaiah 55, he says that his word will not return to him empty, but will accomplish what he desires and achieve the purpose for which he sent it. His word is powerful. And so we start by sharing the word of God. So how exactly do we do that? Verse 26 tells us it's a man scattering seeds on the ground. So this scattering seeds on the ground, it's not like when you have a seed, one seed, and you plant it, and then so many inches from the next one, and then you plant another one, one by one. This is a picture of a guy with a whole handful of seeds, and he just throws it out there in the field. So he is sowing, but he is sowing abundantly. It's not one at a time, little by little, but abundantly. Sharing the gospel, sharing the good news of Jesus everywhere, with everyone, in every kind of situation. And so we see, and the first thing that Jesus is telling us in this parable is that we are called to sow abundantly. And the Apostle Paul agrees with that. He says in 1 Corinthians 9, "Whoever sows generously will also reap generously." So we are to sow abundantly. At the Antioch Bible Institute, where I have served for the past, I don't know how many years, six, 7 years, we do our best to sow abundantly, particularly in our neighborhood. Once we got our building built, if you remember that drama, once we got into our neighborhood, we began to try to look for ways to sow God's word in and around where we are located. We've done things like food distribution and tracts distribution during the COVID time. We've done biblical-based literacy classes. We've done inviting the neighbors in for volleyball games and just hanging out. We have a weekly kids club that takes place at the school as well. So evangelism is a part of our school. We have evangelism training in our curriculum. We use Evangelism Explosion, for those of you that are familiar with that, where they are taught how to share the gospel. The teachers model it for them and then go out and do it with them and then send the students out in small groups, just the students, sharing the gospel with whoever might be open to it. This past year, we had the students go out in groups of three, and there was one evangelism group that went out one day, and they turned right. They went out of our gate and turned right and went off into a neighborhood that was over to the right, and they met up with a lot of people. There were a lot of kids, there were a lot of adults, and they were outside, which is often the case in Cambodia in the evenings. People are outside, which is very different from here. I just wonder where my neighbors are half the time. But in Cambodia, in the evenings, everybody's outside. And so they got to meet a lot of people. They got to begin to make connections and to share for those that were willing to listen. When they saw that there were a lot of kids there, they also, with the permission of the parents, invited the kids to join for our weekly kids club as well. And so they invited a lot of kids, and that week at Kids Club, we had eight more kids show up at Kids Club, which was really exciting. The next week, another evangelism group of students went out, and they turned left and went over to this other community and began to build relationships with the adults and children there, began to share what they could, and invited a bunch of kids to come to Kids Club. And so that week, we got more kids. So in the course of 2 weeks, we doubled the size of our kids' club because these students were going out and sowing abundantly. They're sowing abundantly. Some of the people that they've talked to have prayed to receive Christ. And some of the kids that have come into the kids' club have also decided to follow Jesus. And we continue to sow the seed in the kids' club and in our community through Bible storing, telling Bible stories, and also sharing the gospel and God's word. And God is slowly growing his kingdom. This is the beginning of kingdom growth, is sowing abundantly, sharing the gospel to everybody, everywhere, in every situation that you can. If you go back to Mark chapter 4, verses 27 and 28, this is what it says. I'm going to read it for you again. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. So when I was waiting for my tomato plants to sprout, I didn't know what was happening under the ground. I didn't know if they were going to sprout, if they were starting to grow or not. I didn't know what day that I would start seeing them come out. But I kept watering, and I kept watching, and I kept expecting something to happen with that pot of tomato seeds. When we sow God's word abundantly, the response, the growth of that seed is not actually our work. It's God's work. He does it. He does it, and we don't know how. Like this verse says, the sower of the seed, he doesn't know how it happened. We don't know how it happens. We can't see what God is doing below the soil in the hearts and the minds of people. But that is God's job, to take the seed that we've sown and to grow it. But we also see in this section that it doesn't say in here, but I know from my experience of doing my tomato plants, you don't just sow the seeds, you have to water them, right? And so for us, the watering can kind of be like praying. And so we need to be praying expectantly, praying expecting that those little seeds, even though they're old, are going to grow. And God's word is going to produce the fruit that we can't even imagine. Like I got all these tomato plants that I can't even imagine. So we learn to pray expectantly, expecting God's word to produce what God wants it to produce. Back in the 1950s, there was an international worker couple by the name of Harry and Miriam Taylor that went to Cambodia. And Mrs. Taylor, Miriam, they lived near a river, and so she saw a village across the river that she was interested in. She's like, I've never been there. I want to see what that village is like. And so she took a boat across the river to visit this new village. She came to find out that the village was full of people, but they were not Khmer. Now, in Cambodia, the main people group are the Khmer people group, and that was what she expected in this village, but they were not Khmer. They were from another unreached people group. Cambodia has 44 different people groups in Cambodia, and 19 of them are still unreached. So the people that were in this village were from one of these unreached people groups. So she decided that she was going to regularly visit them and get to know them and begin to share the gospel as she was able. And so she did. She would go periodically visiting them, drinking tea with them, and sharing as she was able. She also got together some missionary wives to pray specifically for this village and this unreached people group. And they prayed expecting something to happen. They prayed expectantly. And they prayed and prayed and prayed, and the Taylors didn't see any sprouts. No one came to faith in the time that they were missionaries there in that village. Now, fast forward 50 years, so in the early 2000s, another international couple, worker couple, came to Cambodia, moved into the same area, and began to work with that particular village and that particular unreached people group. They did not have any idea that the Taylors had been there 50 years before. They had no idea that the Taylors had sown abundantly, had prayed expectantly. But they continued, they just did their work, building on what the Taylors had done. They found out, just as a side note, they found out later that the Taylors were in that village because on home assignment, they actually met Mrs. Taylor in one of the churches that they were speaking at and figured out that it was the same village. So they began to work there in this village, and eventually a few people came to faith in Jesus, which is, of course, very exciting. A couple of little sprouts were coming up. One of the people that came to faith was a man who was known as the town thief. So when he became a believer in Jesus, suddenly all the thefts decreased tremendously in the village. Imagine that. And so he became a believer and followed Jesus for a while, but unfortunately his wife died, and he was very upset by that and got into drinking a lot of alcohol and eventually turned away from his faith in Jesus. The international couple that was working in this village, after a few years, were moved to another location for another ministry, and so the village was kind of left to itself again. Several years ago, about 3 or 4 years ago, another international worker couple came to Cambodia, specifically hoping to work with this specific unreached people group. And so they came to Cambodia, and the older couple that was there previously decided they wanted to take the newer couple around to the places that they had been, introduce them to the people they knew to help them get a start of building relationships in this particular area. Meanwhile, the guy who had become a Christian and then fell away, who was the town thief, he's older now. He had developed cataracts in his eyes, and his vision wasn't very good. So one day he was walking alongside the river and actually walked into bamboo, and the bamboo went right into his eye. And so he's like, my eye, okay. Like, anybody would be freaking out about that. So he's like, I'm going to lose my eye. And so, of course, what do? You go to the hospital. And so he goes to the hospital, but it was COVID time. And the hospital there said that he had to have a COVID test, which he paid for, and he had to pay for it himself. before he could come in to have treatment, so they would know which section of the hospital put him in, whether he had COVID or not. So he wanted treatment, but he had no money, so he couldn't do this COVID test. And so he's like, what am I going to do? He's like so worried he's going to lose his eye. He's fearful. He's desperate. And he calls out to this God that he knew earlier, this Jesus, and said, please help me. I need help. The very next day, the two international worker couples came to his village. And they met him, and they were able to give him money, and he was able to get his test and get treated. And so now he can still see. He didn't lose his vision in that eye. Some vision, but not all of it. And he said that at that moment, he realized that God still loved him. That even though he had walked away, that God was still waiting to receive him back. And long story short, he came back to Jesus. He came back to following God and was instrumental with this new international worker couple in starting several small groups in the area with this unreached people group. And these small groups were groups of seekers. And actually, they are groups of seekers. They are still going today. And these groups are hearing Bible stories. We call it chronological Bible storying. So we're telling stories through the Bible in order to share the gospel with them. And they are interested. And God is opening more doors with this particular people group in the recent years than he has in the last 50 years. So these little seedlings, these people that are starting to believe, that are starting to seek Jesus, how did it come about? It came about because of the abundant sowing of the tailors and the other international workers, but it also came about because of the expectant praying. The tailors prayed since the 1950s, and it's just, you know, now that we're beginning to see more and more people interested and the kingdom of God growing among this particular group. So pray expecting, even if it takes a long time, because sometimes it does take a long time, but pray expecting God to do something. And he is under the ground doing something, whether we can see it or not. And he will bring the harvest, he will bring the growth in the right time and in the right way. But sowing and praying isn't all that God is inviting us to do. In Mark chapter 4, if we look at the last verse I want to look at today, 29, verse 29 says, as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. So once, you know, the seedlings come up and they grow and they have fruit, then somebody has to harvest it, right? And that's what God is inviting us to do. He's inviting us to harvest faithfully. After we have sown abundantly, prayed expectantly, we harvest faithfully. And in the kingdom of God, harvesting, the first thing you think of is like leading people to faith in Jesus, right? And that's important. That is part of harvesting. That's part of picking the fruit. But harvesting also means discipleship. It means teaching them how to follow Jesus. I was thinking back to when I first got home a couple weeks ago. I went to the store and I bought some peaches because we don't have peaches in Cambodia. And I, well, canned peaches, but it's not the same thing. So I bought peaches and I was so excited to eat these peaches, but they were still pretty hard. So I had to ask my mom for, you know, do you have a paper bag that I can put these in for a couple days and ripen them? So I did. I put them in a paper bag, rolled the top and set it to the side for a couple days. And then when I got them out, they were nice and juicy. Oh, they were so good. So it's so good to be home. But I didn't pick them. I wasn't the harvester picking them off the tree, but I helped them ripen by putting them in that bag. And so harvesting is not just leading people to faith, but it is discipling them, helping them, I guess, ripen into their faith, grow and know how to follow Jesus, and what's really important is to teach them how to allow the Holy Spirit to come in and transform them and allow them to grow, allow the Holy Spirit room to grow them and transform their lives. And this is how the kingdom of God grows, because once they are transformed, what happens? You have a fruit that already has seeds in that can be taken and sown elsewhere in another field. And that's how the kingdom of God grows. There's a young woman in northeastern Cambodia, from northeastern Cambodia. She came to faith when her mother was ill and God healed her. That's another story I don't have time for this morning. But she grew in her faith, was discipled some by an international worker that was near her, and was just so full of joy and gratitude for the grace and love that God had given her. She just wanted to share it with others. She just didn't know how. And so she finally decided to come to Antioch, the Antioch Bible School. And so Sokan came as a student in 2021 when I returned from my last home assignment. She was one of our new students. Now, just as a reminder, for those of you that weren't here last night, Antioch Bible Institute, our goal is to disciple and train young men and women in how to serve in urban settings, in the cities alongside, around Cambodia, and possibly in the future outside of Cambodia as well. And in our school, discipleship is really the life and breath of our school. We come alongside the students, we teach them how to be followers of Jesus in everyday life. We help them grow in their relationship with the Lord. We help train them in ministry skills so that they can be servants of the King out in the city. So Sokan has finished her 2 years at Antioch, and at the end of those 2 years, she told me that Antioch helped her a lot, a really lot. And she said she has grown both spiritually and in her character. She learned how to have a close relationship with God. She learned how to live in community, how to relate with those who are younger than her and older than her and have a different status as well. And as most almost graduates, when I talked to her about this, she said she was really, really worried about what she was going to do after graduation. When you graduate, you're like, what's my job? Where am I going to go? What's going to happen? And so she was worried about that. And concerned because over the 2 years that she had been at the school, she had gotten this love for the city, and she's actually from a very rural area, and so she really wanted to stay in the city to serve God, and so she began to pray that God would give her opportunity to do that. And it just so happened that the year she graduated, the mission had decided we were going to try out this new internship program. We were going to give our graduates an optional third year where they could work alongside another Christian worker and get some experience and continue to develop as a worker of God. And so this program is actually for our rural Bible school and also the city Bible school, which is Antioch. And so we have internship sites all over Cambodia, different ministries, different locations. And so Kam, when we told her about that, she said, "Oh, I want to do the one in Phnom Penh. I want to be in the city." And so Kam was one of our first interns this past year working at the Antioch School. She helped teach, she learned to teach classes, lead small groups, mentor the students, but she was also working at a local CMA church. She actually taught a class there, which was really hard because in Cambodian culture, if you're teaching someone older than you, it's really hard. And so her students were all older members of the congregation. But she did great, and they just loved her, and they grew, and she grew leaps and bounds in this past year. It's just hard to imagine. She grew so much more than the previous 2 years. So I asked her before I left about the internship and her experience, and she said she loved it. She said she was able to apply what she learned from her 2 years at Antioch right away. And Antioch, she learned how to teach. But she had a little practice during those 2 years, but she wasn't quite clear on actually how to teach God's word. But she said now she does. She knows how to teach. And this is what she said. She said, "I understand the heart of a teacher now, to look at the student and help them not only to learn, but to grow in character and in their spiritual life with the Lord. This is important." So Sokan discovered during her internship that she had this gift of teaching. And what's really cool is that the director of the Antioch Bible School just asked her to teach one of our core first-year classes for the next school trimester. So Sokan is this fruit that grew out of the seed of God's word and has been transformed to the point where she has the seeds, the word of God, the gospel in her that she is now spreading out to others, both at the school and outside, because she's also a very gifted evangelist everywhere she goes. I've ridden in the little tuk-tuks there with her, and she doesn't talk to me. She talks to the driver, tells him all about Jesus. So God is giving her opportunities, but she's a fruit that has ripened and is joining us in growing the kingdom in Cambodia. So God is not only inviting us to sow abundantly, pray expectantly, and harvest faithfully, but God is calling us to join him in what he's doing. It's his work to grow it, right? It's his work. But these invitations to sow, to pray, and to harvest are invitations for us to join him. And it's not just an invitation for international workers, it's an invitation for all of God's people. So I first want to just encourage you to look for opportunities to sow, to pray, and to harvest here in Carlisle. I'm sure that God is working, and there are places where the seed is ready to be received into the soil and to grow. So please be doing that. But I also want to finish up by thanking you so much for the part that you've played in what's going on in Cambodia and your partnership in prayer and in giving. Please continue to pray with us expectantly. Pray for the school as they are taking in new students right now. Their school starts in September, the beginning of September. Pray for Soka, as she's a teacher at the school and is also getting a job in the city, and for God to use her. Please continue to give. I do thank you so much for your generosity to my work, as well as to the Great Commission Fund, which actually still funds quite a bit of our work there as well. So please continue to give and be a part of what God is doing in that way as well. And if there's anyone that feels like God is calling them to full-time missionary service overseas, I would love to talk to you. So just come and find me, and we can chat about that. The sowing, the praying, and the harvesting, we do it together. It's not just one person. We do it as a family of God, as a people of God. So let's keep doing it, and keep doing it until Jesus returns. So thank you. And let me just close by praying for you. Father God, we just thank you for this day. Thank you for your word that shows us the part that we can play, the exciting part that we can play in sowing abundantly and praying expectantly and harvesting faithfully. Lord, help us to be faithful in it. Help us to be brave and to sow that word, tell our testimony, share those verses, those answers to prayers everywhere we go with everyone we meet. And we trust and we believe that you are working under the ground to take those little seeds that we have sown and grow them. And we look forward to being a part of the harvest in leading people to faith in Jesus and discipling them to the point where they also can join in the growth of the kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for all of these things. I pray this a special blessing on Carlisle Alliance Church. I pray that they would hear your voice and know your presence and faithfully follow after you. Thank you, Lord, for this time. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.